If I could have my picture, my first picture up here. Oh, isn't that something? The picture you're seeing here is a picture of little Billy Mulligan. He's the son of Chad and Lisa Mulligan. And each day, 16-month-old Billy struggles to breathe. Imagine struggling to inhale and to exhale. Imagine watching your child continually struggling to breathe. Billy has a lung disease, which, and I don't fully understand it, but because I'm not a medical person, but he has a lung disease where it's a thickening of the blood vessels makes it hard to transfer the oxygen from the lungs to the or from the blood to the lungs, or blood the lungs to the blood, whichever the case. When Billy was diagnosed with this rare disease in 2008, the doctors could not tell Billy's parents very much about the disease because it had only been discovered some 4 years earlier, and there was really very little that they could tell, or very little hope that they could give him. Chad said, Chad being Billy's father, said, when it's your child, even the word disease is very intimidating. It drives an unimaginable fear through you initially, especially without concrete information to back up what, and so you think, what's the worst? And when you hear about that and think about that, I think we all can identify with the fact that fear can be the most tormenting, most tantalizing, most devastating thing that can take a hold of your body. It is the deadliest of all the emotions that we can have, and yet, knowingly or unknowingly, by and large, this world that's under the devil being over it, it flows out of him because of fear. We all have fears. We fear war. We fear running out of oil. We fear running out of food, running out of money, running out of water. Fear that the stock market's going to collapse. We fear sickness. We fear losing our jobs. We worry about our kids getting on drugs or on alcohol or getting into trouble. We even worry about looking good. We have a fear of rejection, fear of failure. It's fear that drives many people to drugs and alcohol. We even worry about the weather. Fear will consume you if you allow it to. And as Christians, we're not exempt from fear. There was a lady at Victory Christian Center in Tulsa. For many years, lived a very normal, happy married life. And then there came a series of incidents in her life to where it drove her to a situation where she became so fear-consumed that she became a recluse. She went into the bedroom, she closed the blinds, got in bed, covered up her head, and stayed there for an extended period of time, months and months and months. Finally, she got the message of faith in such a manner that she was able to lay hold on it and grab a hold of it. And out of that grabbing that hold, getting a hold of faith, the message of faith, she was able to begin to walk out of that situation until finally, a little bit of time and a process over a period of time, by increasing her faith, increasing working on her faith, she was able to walk out of that situation and ultimately became the hospital pastors at Victory Christian Center. I'm saying all that to say this. Fear is devastating, yes. Fear is awful, yes. But at the same time, there is hope. You know what's bigger than fear? That's God himself. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. The God that we serve and the message that God has for us in his word is able to lift us up above every situation that we might struggle with. God said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a peaceful mind. God's bigger than any problem that you have today or anything that might be bringing fear upon your life. No matter what you see on TV, they dwell on that. They work on fear. Just listen to 5 o'clock news. Well, listen to the commercials and how they're telling you, if you don't take my diet message, I wouldn't be a good one for that, but anyway. if you don't take my diet pills, you're going to be fat and ugly and die early. I mean, they really sell it. They use fear for everything. So, we have allowed fear to even creep into our churches. If you don't believe it, just listen to Christians talk. I'm scared to death. Ever heard that? Uh-huh. Moving right along. But God's bigger than fear. Amen. How did fear come into existence? If you go back to the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and study of that, Genesis will reveal that Adam and Eve had everything going for them. They had no worries, no fears, no taxes, no debts, no IRS. They had excellent relationship with each other as well as with their Creator. There were no crosswords between them. It was obviously a place of peace and joy and happiness and an enjoyable place to be. They were king and queen over their domain. Adam was living a life that had purpose and meaning and significance. He had everything going for him. With all of this wonderful life that they were experiencing, how in the world did Adam come to be in the situation that he's in the 3rd chapter of Genesis, beginning with about the 8th verse, beginning with Genesis 3:8. Here we find Adam hiding in the bushes, shaking in his boots, only because God was come to look for him. Beginning of the 8th verse, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, in your Bibles, circle it if you can. Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Also, in the 10th verse, circle it, emphasize it, I was afraid. The first time in the Word of God that it's recorded where the fear, the emotion of fear is recorded is right here. Now, if you go back to the beginning of this chapter, for those of you, I know some of you are familiar with this, some of you, I've taught it before, and it's a pretty standard teaching, but there are those of you that are here perhaps that haven't heard this teaching before. And if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, the 3rd chapter, you'll find that Adam and Eve both sinned. And they both blew it. They both did what God told them not to do. They ate of this tree of life. And as a result, they sinned and they were moved out of the presence of the Lord. I call it a timeless principle. Timeless principle number one. Disobedience removes you from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Disobedience removes you from the presence of the Lord. Conversely, obedience brings you into the presence of the Lord. Isn't that hard to understand? I mean, that's tough. Disobedience is going to take you out. But if you're obedient, you move in too. I don't know about you, but I'm a candidate for staying in the presence of the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise God forevermore. Because the psalmist said in Psalms, the 16th chapter and the 11th verse, says, you will show me the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy, and as your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm in favor of staying in the presence of the Lord. If you want to enjoy the fullness of life, this is where it is. If you want to enjoy life, this is the place to be. And that is in the presence of the Lord. Timeless principle number two. The fruit of being out of the presence of the Lord is what?
Fear.
Everybody understand this. Being out of the presence of the Lord, the fruit of that is fear. Of course, the fruit of being in the presence of the Lord is love, joy, peace, forevermore. But there's more to this tragic story than just in and out of the presence of the Lord. When God came down and approached him, he went to the man and he said, and I think God usually goes to the man or that as being head of the household and head of whatever, but he goes and he said, well, why did you do this? And the man said, well, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, well, the serpent deceived me and I ate. This is the beginning of the game, of the blame game. Anytime I blow it, I need somebody to blame. Anytime I blow it, it has to be Janet's fault. It don't make any difference what it is. If I blow it, some way she's going to become the person that's responsible for it. And then, I don't know, I guess if I blame her, then she's going to blame the servant or the devil made me do it or something like that. I'm not really sure. Flip Wilson made a fortune over that phrase, the devil made me do it. But it's a play on the blame game. And ever since that time, we've been looking for somebody else to blame our mistakes. You know, this is your day to be able to be free of any fear that might be troubling you.
Amen.
Amen? Timeless principle number three comes from verse 8. The fruit of fear is insecurity. We want to hide.
Yes.
The fruit of fear is insecurity. We want to hide. That is important. Because when we are insecure, comes this next principle, timeless principle. The fruit of insecurity is selfishness, and the fruit of selfishness is self-destruction.
Yes. Amen.
Step. When I disobey God, I move out of His presence. When I move out of His presence, fear comes into my life because I'm not in the presence of the Lord. When fear comes into my life, I get insecure. I want to hide. I want to go someplace. Out of that insecurity or feelings of inferiority, feelings of not feeling good about ourselves. See, all this is a manifestation of fear. And when I get to doing that, I'm liable to say something stupid or do something stupid that I shouldn't be doing. Now, don't everybody say amen at once. You make me nervous. Do I need to go over it again or do you have it? Do you understand? Do you understand the process of fear, insecurities, out of the presence of the Lord, selfishness, all that good? Do we understand that? So the simple thing is, if you want to feel good about yourself, if you want to feel secure, if you want to be able to feel good, stay in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Well, you might say, but Pastor, I'm not perfect. I blow it. This is going to come as a surprise to you, but I'm not either. Now, and as a result of that, what do I do when I blow it? The scripture tells me that if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That makes hallelujah. I saw that hand back there. Yes. We need that.
Yes.
We need that escape. We Because we do. We are. We're fallible. We blow it. We make mistakes. We get upset. Any number of things. Impatient. Lean too much on ourselves. Some of us even want our own way. Boy, those are nervous giggles. Yeah, we do. We get independent of God. But if we do, we have that ability to go back to Him. And when we do, we can move back into the presence of the Lord and the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Isn't that a wonderful story? It's not wonderful that we had allowed fear to come into our life. It's not wonderful that we feel insecure. It's not wonderful that we have all those things. But what is wonderful is we have a channel right straight to the throne room of God that allows me to go there and get security and feel enter into His presence without any fear or guilt or condemnation because of Jesus Christ the price He paid for us. Okay? All right. Now, so having said that, we've talked about fear. We've talked about its destruction. We've talked about all those things. But now, God is bigger than fear. And folks, if you don't get anything else out of this message today, then take this home with you. If you blow it spiritually and are disobedient in thought or deed, take the responsibility for your action, repent, and get back in the presence of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that's dealing with fear. And I forgot to tell you the title of this today was Fear versus Faith. But anyway, here we go. Billy Joe Doherty said, fear is faith in reverse. Well, if fear is faith in reverse, what is faith? And for those of you that might be not as familiar with faith and these type of things, probably the best synonym for faith is trust. That's not going to cover every situation, but it's going to cover a lot of them. If you're wanting to understand what faith is, because we talk a lot about faith. We say we're faith people. We believe in faith and all that. But so it probably trust would be as good a synonym as any to cover most situations. Faith is to believe or to be persuaded of. Faith is to have confidence in, to trust in, to rely upon, to have an entire dependence upon the assurance. The writer of Hebrews defines faith in this manner. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And anytime I give you scripture, it is typically New King James. But I took the occasion to look at some other translations just so we can have a good amplification of this scripture. The New Living Translation says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen.
Yes.
It gives us assurance about things we cannot see.
Amen.
New American Standard. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. God's Word translation says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. So, New King James uses the word substance, which is referring to something solid, like concrete. The New Living Translation uses the word confidence. The New American Standard and God's Word uses the word assurance. Faith is something that is rock solid, full of confidence, and overflowing with assurance.
Amen.
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 You can build your life on faith in God.
Amen.
You can have the confidence that it will happen. You can rest assured it will happen. Faith is foundational to our experience with God, and it's impossible to please God without faith.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, there's something else about faith that we probably need to have some understanding. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is not something that the natural mind can understand or embrace. Faith is a spiritual matter. Faith is something that I believe in God concerning, and natural things versus spiritual things are not always, they don't always coincide. You can't always say, well, this is the way it's supposed to be, because when you're dealing with spiritual things, it really comes, it's something that comes from God. Your Christian life began with, or will begin with, faith. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved if you believe. When you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, Romans 10:9-10 says you had to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth unto salvation. So it's a believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. You're going to hear more about that in the next few weeks, because we're going to be dealing with more on faith and how to appropriate the things of God as a result of faith. So, you put your trust in Him, and by grace you are saved through faith. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 8th verse. Faith will appropriate the power of God. Faith will appropriate the power of God. In Luke, the 4th chapter and the 36th verse, it says, then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. One of the biggest issues that Christ had to deal with when he was here on earth is he was a man of great power and great authority. A number of miracles took place while he was here in his 3 or so years of ministry. And it really upset the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and so forth. It really upset them because they didn't have that power, and yet the people saw that he had that power, and because of that, he was able to do these things. He had a great following to be a part of following him. So he performed miracles and he all kinds of miracles. Miracles of healing. He spoke to the weather and the storms calmed down. He raised people from the dead. He was a miracle worker. Well, when Jesus was ready to return to heaven, in Luke the 10th chapter and the 19th verse, he says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. 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 Do you get that?
Yes.
All right.
Amen.
And nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Hallelujah.
Now, in another place in the scripture, it talks about that the that all power is given to him. So I'm not going to try to go to every scripture because time won't permit us to do it. But it talks about all power. So he was a man with power. He, in turn, whenever he was ready to return to heaven, he said, I'm delegating this power to you.
Yes.
Now, and then he told him at one point later, he says, go to Jerusalem, tarry, until you are endued with power from on high.
Yes.
Meaning being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So you see, there's a transference of the power that Christ had that the Pharisees, the Sadducees were all upset about. There was a transference of that power into the 12 disciples. Then the 12 disciples, some people say, well, but it ended right there. It doesn't go any further. Well, the only thing is, when I read my Bible, there was a man called Stephen in the book of Acts. Stephen was a deacon, but it says he was a man that was full of faith and power. And then the next scripture says he was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So you see, this was after the 12. He was not one of the 12. And if you read the scripture, you'll see all kinds of miracles occur in the book of Acts and in the New Testament after Jesus went back by people who were not of the original 12. You know what? When he said he transferred that power, not only did he transfer it to those 12, but those 12 transferred it on to the others following him, and they followed him, and it's still unto the ends of the earth, which includes Grove, Oklahoma, Bill Lay, today in this sanctuary this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to go back to what Kent said this morning in prayer. And he said, well, you know, some people think, well, it's just something for the pastor to do. No, it says all believers. Amen. All believers. Are you a believer?
Amen.
Amen. Are you a believer?
Absolutely.
Are you a believer?
Amen.
Are you a believer?
Yes.
Are you? If you're a believer, the power has been transferred to you for you to be able to call on that power to be able to do those things of God. It's not something that's just restricted. It wasn't restricted to just the 12. It wasn't restricted to just the apostles. It wasn't restricted just to the first century. Folks, it is for you and I today the same as it was for them back there.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now, I wish I had time, but I don't. But I'm still going to hit on it just lightly. 1677 is what? 61? 61 years ago.
Hallelujah.
60. For those of you who don't know, I'm over 61. 61 years ago, I knelt at an old-fashioned altar, gave my heart to the Lord, and at that same altar that night, not knowing anything about the baptism or being filled with the Holy Spirit, God gloriously filled me. However, that one filling did not last me for the rest of my life. Now stay with me. You got to be filled, 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 ever filled. In fact, one of the scriptures that the Greek scholars tell me, it means continuously filled. That means that each day when you wake up each morning, God wants you to be filled with the Spirit. And if you wake up with an ugly attitude and want to try to do some crazy things, you're not going to be filled with the Spirit, brother.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Every morning when you wake up, you allow that Holy Spirit to fill you up again. Fill you up again. A continuous filling. Now then, so if you walk in the Spirit of the Lord, walk in, and you're continually in His presence, then you can be filled and you can walk with power and authority.
Amen.
Amen. When Paul was writing to the church at Ephesians, he said, be filled with the Spirit. And it's not so much that we're talking about filled with the Spirit at one time, but to be continue to be filled. Now we're talking about faith, and of course trying to help everybody to understand about faith. And I'm going to try to approach it from a little bit different direction. This morning I want you to picture in a bedroom at night, and you going into it, you opening the door, walk into a pitch black room. You can't see anything because it's dark. So you reach that tiny switch and flip it. And guess what? The light comes on if the bulb's not burned out. And you paid your light bill. Why did you reach for that switch instead of going over and doing something with the bulb? Because you believed, or you had the faith, that when you flipped that switch, that light was going to come on. Stay with me. You had the faith to believe that was going to happen. So you flip the switch, the light comes on. Now most of us that are assembled here today couldn't tell you exactly what happens technically when you flip that switch. But it has something to do with a generator that might be hundreds of miles away that's piping electricity to that house and going to that switch. And whenever that switch goes up, then there's a connection on those wires that goes to that light bulb. And with those two wires making contact to that light bulb, it makes that light come on. Now, there's some similarity between that and faith. Faith is the switch that activates the power of God that's located in heaven to be able to come down and to do things in your life when you put it together.
Amen.
It is not, faith is, or God is not moved so much by need as he is by faith. It, the Bible talks about the God kind of faith, the God kind of faith, the God, we can get to come down to this altar or the steps and we can pray and we can believe and we can cry and we can tell God all about our problems. I mean, you know, you can spend as much time as you want to down here. But what we need to learn to do is start believing, confessing, calling those things that are not as though they were.
Yes.
Folks, that's faith.
Amen.
See, you're putting your trust in.
Amen.
You're putting your trust in.
Yeah.
It's not just telling God, oh, I'm a poor sinner. I blew it. Blah, 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 blah. You know, if you did, ask God to forgive you. Go on.
Yeah.
Don't dwell on it.
That's right.
And you love me, don't you?
Yeah.
That's good. You don't have to be that smart. I forgot now what I was going to say. We want to continue to use our faith in order to activate the power of God.
Yes.
Yes. We don't want to continue to don't pray the problem. Don't pray the problem.
Amen.
The problem, the devil's the one that caused the problem, or selfishness, whichever the case was, which was inspired by the devil. Pray God's word.
That's right.
Pray in faith.
Yes.
Pray in believing.
Yes.
Pray and tell God. Use his word. God, this is what you said in your word. You promised me this. Pray the promises of God.
That's right.
That is faith. Because that's what he's called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
That's faith. Hallelujah. My friends, the church will only be as powerful as they are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we talk about the power of God, and we talk about healing, we talk about miracles. Our God's arm is not shortened, nor is his ears deaf. He's the same God that parted the Red Sea.
Amen.
He's the same God that kept it from raining. He's the same God that made the sun stand still.
Yes.
He's the same God that endued Peter so strongly that even when his shadow passed over people, they were healed. He's the same God that raised Jesus from the dead. He's the same God that healed a paralytic. He's the same God that saved you and baptized you and is going to be your soon returning King.
Amen.
Yes, my friends, we're still serving a miracle working God that is still active. Miracles are still activated by faith even in the midst of it. Faith is your pathway to freedom and fullness. Faith is your pathway, freedom, and fullness.
Amen.
The doctrine of faith is probably one of the most important tenets that we practice. And the writer of Hebrews also said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him."
Yes.
Faith, don't miss this point. Faith replaced works in the New Testament over the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Yes.
Under the Old Testament, it works, you know, it was a works mentality. In the New Testament, it's a faith mentality. Read the book of Romans, and it'll give you a better understanding of that. We're no longer saved or justified by our works, but now we are justified by our faith in God. And therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Take your outline, turn it over in the back. Listed some things there that might be helpful to you as far as faith goes. Something you can put in your pocket, put in your purse, carry with you. On your lunch hour, pull these out and look at them, read them, and get them down in your spirit. Fear says it's impossible, but faith says all things are possible. Fear says I'm too tired. God says I'll give you rest. Fear says nobody loves me, but faith says I love you. Fear says I can't figure this out, but God's word says I will direct you. I can't go on, but my grace is sufficient. I can't do it. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. I'm not able, but the Bible says God's able. It's not worth it. Yes, it will be worth it. I can't forgive myself. God says, I forgive you. I can't manage this. God says, I'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And then he also said, you can't grow one inch taller by worrying about it. Amen. I'm worried. Cast all your cares on me. I'm afraid. He says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. I'm worried. I'm not smart. I'll give you wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. I'm claiming that one. I'm depressed. He says, I'm your stronghold. I'm confused. I'll guide you into all truths. I'm weak. And he says, I am mighty.
Yes.
Can you grab a hold of that?
Yes.
See, he is mighty inside of you. He will make up the difference.
Yes.
And fear says, I'm weary. He says, don't give up.
Right.
Fear says, I'm in trouble. Again, I will deliver you.
Hallelujah.
I'm brokenhearted. I will heal you. I can't find you. Seek with all your heart. I'm sinful. He says, sin will not master you. I'm anxious. He says, give me your anxiety. I am tempted. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Yep.
Can you say amen this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We're setting the foundations for faith this morning and trying to help you to be able to understand that there's a fear and there's a faith. And of course, faith is something that we want to study for the next few weeks and for us to grow as a result of it.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164. Or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.